It's Tuesday, September 10th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning from the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas. I was out yesterday. Woke up not feeling too good. So thank you for the crew for scrambling and putting together an all-star show. Three of our best interviews in the recent past all just happened to be women. It just turned out that way. Someone on X was saying you should title that episode Wonder Women. There's a lot of great women doing some very powerful work. And it's funny because I mentioned to my sister yesterday evening, said, yeah, you know, didn't make it in today. I was sick. We had to do a rebroadcast. She was like, really? Because Dad said he watched and you had a really good show. I'm like, well, okay. He didn't notice my costume changes between each hour, I guess. But yeah, thank you for the crew to scramble. I will say, unless I'm mistaken, I think that may have been the first time in the entire history of American Journal that I called out sick in the morning. I've been sick other times, obviously, and have usually maybe the night before, I can give a warning to the crew. I think that may have been the first time ever that I woke up feeling terrible and didn't make it in, which I'm bragging, which is an unbelievable situation if you'd seen my high school attendance record. We have a lot to discuss today. My goodness, we have a lot to discuss. And of course, the main topic on everybody's mind is Haitians eating cats and ducks from the park. And this, I'm happy to say, we are on the very forefront of. Last week, we were covering this exact situation and giving you some context and reporting on some of the Facebook posts and others. Captive Dreamer 2 on X deserves a lot of credit for pushing this out into the mainstream, taking some of the statements made on local Facebook posts, Facebook pages for Springfield, Ohio, and publishing them on X and getting them out to the wider consciousness. And it's amazing how things like this happen, how there can be some situation where everybody locally knows it's going on. It's a huge deal. It's a symptom of a wider nationwide syndrome that's going on. But it remains in that local field. It remains in the local sphere. It never breaks out until somebody notices it. Somebody who, with a national voice or, you know, prominent on X, especially on the right wing, notices it and publishes something about it. And then it's like all the news that's been going on but hasn't been widespread comes roaring out like a flood. And so now we just have this you know, flood of information. And two things happen in this case. For one, everybody jumps on board on the right wing and starts talking about this because it's sort of the first time they've noticed and it's a flood of information. And then, of course, the responding attempt by the left to debunk everything as quickly as possible. And they act like this flood of information is evidence that it's manufactured or, you know, not as big of a deal, right? It's a right-wing conspiracy. And wow, suddenly everybody's, you know, making these claims. It's like, well, we didn't know it was happening because the national media wasn't reporting on it, because the local media reports on it weren't actually saying what was going on. So none of us really knew, but there was a ton of information being generated, and it wasn't until the awareness of this situation broke through the you know, Overton window, broke into the mainstream conversation, that suddenly all of this information that's already been there comes roaring into view for everybody to see. And so, of course, the left uses this as evidence that somehow this isn't really happening, that it's all manufactured because it's just all spilling out at once. And, you know, some of it's not exactly right. You'll see a photo of some dude walking down the street with a goose in his hands, you know, just been insane. And it's like, well, that wasn't actually in Springfield. That was in the town next to Springfield. And it's like, okay, you can debunk all of these things piece by, you know, hyper focusing on some detail that may not be exactly correct. But we get what's going on. The entire situation is not fake or wrong or even, you know, mislabeled or misinterpreted. It's all happening. It's all very real. And we're going to break down some information that you which probably aren't going to get anywhere else, including why this is happening to Ohio in particular, why this is, like, how much this has been happening in the past. This is not a new thing. This is not something that just happened last week. It wasn't last Monday they brought in a bunch of Haitians and on Friday they were eating pets. This has been going on for years. And one situation that we talk about all the time on this show as evidence of the willful collapse of our country through the immigration system is, of course, the El Paso or Eagle Pass, rather, conundrum, the situation, the bizarre series of events that occurred where you had tens of thousands of Haitian migrants camped out under the bridge for weeks. You know, nobody could do anything about it. Everybody was, you know, just confused and lost. And the Haitians, meanwhile, were like being interviewed as they would cross over the Rio Grande and buy food and then cross back over to eat it. And they were just like, this is terrible. We're suffering so bad. And it all just went on. And this camp just remained until a Border Patrol agent rode a horse near the migrants and used his reins. That was published as being them whipping the migrants. And then Kamala Harris and the Biden administration made a big deal out of this, saying, oh, it's like slavery days. Oh, dear. It's like we're back in the 1800s with the slavery and the slave masters on horses. And then when it was revealed, no, this is a guy using his reins to stop the influx of migrants storming across the border, it became very embarrassing, and the whole situation just disappeared in 24 hours. For weeks, so it was camps and, you know, what are we going to do? And, oh, my God, it's hundreds of thousands of people. This is an impossible task. And then the Biden administration was embarrassed a little bit, and it was cleaned up within 24 hours. Everybody was gone. The entire camp was disassembled and removed. And all of the people there disappeared. They were just gone. Well, where do you think they went? Where do you think they went? They went into your neighborhood. They got housing down the street from your house. Yeah, so we'll spend a lot of time on that. We have more videos than we could ever possibly go to on that topic alone. And it's very good to see. And it's also good to see how unnecessary the mainstream media is at this point. I mean, as soon as this situation rose to the level of national awareness, it's like, you know, all of the independent reporters have been deployed and are now on the ground in Ohio getting the story verbatim from the people there and publishing it without any interference from some mainstream network telling them what is and is not of public importance. So we'll get very much into that. Of course, tonight is the debate. The debate. I'd say the first debate, but I don't know if there's going to be a second. It's just the debate between Trump and Harris. So this is it. The last few hours of Kamala Harris as a viable presidential candidate. Enjoy it, Kamala, because just like Joe Biden, the reality is about to be revealed and everybody is going to see what the real options are. Donald Trump, intelligent statesman versus Democrat puppet, wallowing in failure and incompetence. So we'll get into that too, what we can expect later. I will be in the studio starting at 7 p.m. tonight, hosting along with Chase Geyser and perhaps some others. I'm not sure who has confirmed yet. But we'll be there taking your calls and commentating on the debate and watching it live in real time on Infowars.com/show and band.video and streaming on X as well. So tune in for that. Join us as we commentate along and watch in real time as Kamala Harris's presidential dreams go up in smoke. That's my prediction anyway. So we'll talk about that and a lot more. So many videos to get to today. I'll take your calls as well, but we'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 10th of September, 2024. Trump-Harris to debate on ABC. And this has been a long road to get here, a very long road. Obviously, we should have had several debates against what should have been the winner of the Democratic primary, Joe Biden. But apparently they just, you know, want to pull the rug out from under everybody. shove Kamala in. It's been something like 51, 52 days since she became the actual nominee of the Democratic Party. And in that time, she has given exactly one pre-taped, tag team interview with a very friendly media outlet at CNN. And that's basically it. She's had no press conferences. She hasn't talked to the press whatsoever. Maybe once or twice she's, said something to a camera while in some staged campaign stop at a Sheetz gas station. But other than that, no questions, no being held to the, her feet held to the fire, no interrogation from any even remotely unfriendly media. And this free ride she's been given, this smooth sailing of not being questioned, not having to even come out with a policy sheet, that ends tonight. So that's going to be very exciting to watch. It's going to be very exciting to watch, rewatch almost. It'll be a replay of what we saw under Joe Biden, where for weeks and weeks we were telling you just how incompetent and senile he was, only to be gaslit by his administration. And for all of that to come crumbling down the instant he had to speak extemporaneously for an extended period of time. I expect exactly the same thing to happen with old Kamala today. And I'm very excited to watch that. So just bring your sunglasses. It's going to be a Hindenburg-like spectacular failure, I think. I mean, that's my guess. That's what I think is going to happen. And by the way, they think that's going to happen too. They're working feverishly to prepare Kamala Harris, which, yeah, good luck. Good luck is all I have to say about that. Meanwhile, great replacement job shock. This from Zero Hedge over the weekend. 1.3 million native-born Americans lost their jobs, replaced by 35,000 immigrants. At the start of the year, many months after we first pointed out the biggest untold story of the U.S. labor market was the great replacement of native-born workers with foreign-born workers, most of whom we subsequently learned were undocumented immigrants, i.e. illegal aliens. We asked how it is that the ongoing replacement, because that's what it is, of U.S. workers is not the biggest political talking point right now, considering that since October 2019, native-born U.S. workers have lost 1.4 million jobs. Over that same time period, foreign-born workers have gained 3 million jobs. Well, 8 months later, we're delighted to see that our relentless efforts to bring attention to this critical topic finally worked, and the continued replacement of native-born workers with immigrants and illegal aliens is finally the biggest political and media talking point, as demonstrated by such articles as How Immigration Remade the U.S. Labor Force by the Wall Street Journal and Without Immigrants, U.S. Working Age Population Would Shrink from Bloomberg, both of which are an extension of the latest and greatest narrative spawned by Fed Chair Powell and then picked up by Goldman, which came down to the following. You can have record illegal immigration, or you can have even more breakneck inflation. So don't be angry. Just accept the roving gangs of Venezuelan murderers in your neighborhood. If you know what's good for you and if you want to keep prices low, the same prices which are only high because the government decided to inject $20 trillion in fiscal stymies in the last 4 years. So again, we'll get back into this. But just a quick reminder that it's not just your missing cat that is to blame for the immigration crisis is to blame. It's also your missing job and your lower pay and the unaffordable groceries. It's all compounded and exacerbated by the inflow and massive billion-dollar payments to the foreign occupiers in our country. And it's all on purpose and by design, and that's the point of them coming here in the first place. Meanwhile, Israel-Gaza war. Israeli military claims Turkish-American activist killed in West Bank was likely unintentionally shot. It's hard to say, though. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. When you're just closing your eyes and firing blindly at anything that moves, I guess you can call that an accident, I suppose. Activist killed in the West Bank was likely unintentionally shot, says Israeli military. Sure. The Israeli military said that an American activist killed in the West Bank was likely unintentionally shot. Following an inquiry, an American-Turkish dual national, Aysenor Ezgi Aygi, was shot dead, reportedly by Israeli troops, while participating in a protest against settler expansion in the occupied West Bank on Friday. The 26-year-old was a volunteer peace activist with the Anti-Occupation International Solidarity Movement, ISM. And we'll get back into this a little bit later as well, because it is an American dual citizen killed by the Israeli military. And some of the responses to this by American politicians are truly sickening and treasonous, where they're basically, I mean, not basically, they are literally celebrating and, you know, justifying this and basically saying, well, she was a terrorist, so she deserved to die. So just so you're aware of where our politicians land on the matter, we'll get back into that a little bit later. Meanwhile, the other World War III front, Ukraine strikes Moscow in biggest drone attack to date. Ukraine attacked Russia with 144 drones. At least 20 drones were downed around Moscow. Multi-story residential buildings near Moscow were on fire. Flights were suspended at Moscow's key airports. And Russia then attacked Ukraine with 46 drones. Ukraine struck the Moscow region on Tuesday in its biggest drone attack so far on the Russian capital, killing at least one woman, wrecking dozens of homes, and forcing around 50 flights to be diverted from airports around Moscow. Russia, the world's biggest nuclear power, said it had destroyed at least 20 Ukrainian attack drones as they swarmed over the Moscow region, which has a population of more than 21 million, and 124 more drones shot down over eight other regions. Again, we'll get into this a little bit later, but the poking of the bear continues unabated. The playing chicken with the nuclear-armed superpower continues unabated as the destruction of the United States and our historical resistance to tyranny will be eliminated one way or another, either by flooding us with Haitians and Venezuelans or eliminating us and disintegrating us in a nuclear flash. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. Finally, we have this. Panicked Democrats rush to discredit reports of Haitian illegals eating pets in Springfield as xenophobic and racist. Xenophobic and racist. Sort of makes you, sort of brings to mind, if you will, the great speeches from Martin Luther King. Where he said, I have a dream of a world. My grandchildren are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. It's like, well, we're judging them by the content of their character, and they are eating ducks. They're eating the ducks at the park, and they stole my daughter's cat and is frying it on the driveway. So, yeah, it turns out the content of the character might not be the best metric if, continual support is what you're after. The left is collectively scrambling to combat the factual narrative that illegal aliens from Haiti have been caught in an Ohio town eating local ducks in parks and house cats. And we'll get very into this today. And this has gone on for a very long time. And we've reported on this over and over for the past several years. Again, the whole drama about Border Patrol agents using whips on migrants, that was all surrounding tens of thousands of Haitians who'd come across the southern border, who had been ferreted here by a variety of NGOs and governmental programs, taking them from the hellish demon world of Haiti and into America, only for the whole situation to be cleared up instantaneously within 24 hours, the moment it became embarrassing for the Biden administration. Showing again that the lack of action from the federal government isn't born from some incapability, but rather a distinct and well-established disdain for the American people that those in power actually have. So we've talked about it ever since. I mean, we've talked about the migrants from Haiti. You've got the migrant, gangs from Venezuela. The reaction to this is the same from the left, which is to tell you it's not happening, even though it 100% absolutely is happening. But they can just gaslight you and lie to you and pick, certain rhetorical devices and ways of phrasing things that disguises the reality of what's actually happening. In other words, there's statements of things saying the police have not received any reports of, pets being stolen and eaten by Haitians. And it's like, okay, but did you notice a distinct uptick in missing pet posters around? I mean, if your cat goes missing, do you call the cops? I wouldn't. I'd put up posters. I'd call around. I'd put up posts on Facebook. But who calls the cops over a missing animal? That doesn't happen. Now, if you were to actually see, a Haitian family barbecuing your cat, yeah, you might call the cops then, but if your cat goes missing and your Haitian migrants have a barbecue, you know, that weekend. You're not going to call the cops on them because you're not sure if what they're eating is cat or not. By the way, Haitians eat cats. That's just the thing they do, okay? It's not out of necessity. It's not out of, you know, because they're starving and they need to, you know, desperately find something to eat. And so they just reach for, you know, whatever living thing is nearest to them. No, it's like a tradition of theirs, I guess, for some reason. That's what I read. That's what I read from articles written long, long ago. Here's one from HaitianReport.com. Do Haitians eat cats? The shocking truth. Do Haitians eat cats is one of the top 10 most frequently asked questions of Haitians in elementary school, middle school, high school, college, and even professional settings. Unfortunately, many Haitians feel uncomfortable answering the question. I, on the other hand, don't have that problem. That's why I'm going to spill the beans and let you in on this little secret. Don't you love how all of this is phrased? Unfortunately, many Haitians feel uncomfortable answering this question. Yeah, I would too, because the answer is obviously yes. Like, here's how else this could happen. If somebody asked me, do Americans eat cats? I wouldn't be uncomfortable answering the question. I'd say, why no? No, we don't. Thanks for asking. No, that's not something we do. We like pets as we like cats as pets and friends and members of our family. We don't eat them. Eating cat meat is not a daily activity or a nationwide practice in Haiti. However, some Haitians do eat cats on December 24th in a national festivity called Réveillon, which is a big Christmas party. Oh. Well, I wonder, I'd love to hear those carols, wouldn't you? Yeah. It was the night before Christmas. And all through the house, the screaming of cats and the fleeing of mouse. It's crazy that we're bringing these people into our country. It is absolutely insane that we're bringing these people into our country. We're going to show you a bunch of videos about this on the other side, including, you know, Kamala Harris talking about how 50,000 isn't enough. We need 100,000. We need 200,000. We need the entire population of Haiti on the streets of Ohio eating the decorative birds as quickly as possible, which is insane. And the, you know, legal, you know, secret passwords they use to make all of this seem normal and legal and good, which is all very absurd and insane, right? They say they have temporary protective status. Okay, what does that even mean? So if I go let a homeless person into your house and you show up and are like, what the hell is this guy doing here? And I'm like, don't worry, I said he could stay there. I'm protecting him. Okay, so it's legal then, great.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.